Hey kids, you're listening to A Couple of Annoyed Grunt Boys, and this is the 138 Simpsons Podcast.
Good night, Springfield. We'll be back in an hour.
That's right, it's the Simpsons Podcast that discusses the beloved animated sitcom, The Simpsons. But we don't start from seasons one and continue on. No, we focus more on seasons 11 and beyond, because there's plenty of other podcasts out there that have discussed the beloved episodes. We know all those episodes. We know the one with Hank Scorpio and the one with Bart. But we want to continue from 11 and beyond to see if there's other gems out there that could match that one that had Bart and the one that had Lisa in it. But when there's actually new episodes on, we tend to focus on the new stuff. But there's nothing new this week, so that's when we pull out the Wheel of Random and find out what we're watching, and that's what we're watching this week. And I think that explains everything. How about that? I am half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig, and with me is the other annoyed grunt boy,
Steve.
All right. Was that fast enough?
Yeah.
The point.
Yeah, I have Micro Machines called. You got the job. Yeah.
I mean, because I saw them in the stores recently. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Micro Machines are back?
And John Machida is probably dead.
I think he's still alive.
Okay, good for him. Yeah.
He probably goes to conventions and makes good money and people to take pictures with him.
Yeah.
He probably has to like do outgoing voicemails.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
He was a fun character as a kid. It was always weird seeing him like on TV shows. Like, wasn't he on Saved by the Bell?
He was. That's right. Yeah.
Because he's a Micro Machine guy. But we're not here to talk about Micro Machines unless that's what you got in your stockings from Christmas, Steve.
Sadly, no Micro Machines, but I did get some fun Simpsons swag.
Ooh, I might have got one or two things.
Oh, really? Do tell.
I think I only got one thing. And there's a game called Codenames. It's kind of like a little mystery card party game. It's kind of like a Clue, but they do like branded ones now. So there's, you know, like there's probably like Star Wars and there's probably like the Marvel ones, but they have a Simpsons one. So I got that. So I'll be looking forward to playing some Simpsons Codenames.
Very cool.
What was your Simpsons presents?
Well, I got a plethora of them. It's very nice. So first of all, from my mother-in-law, I got a book called The Simpsons Secret, co-written by a great Instagram and YouTube account to follow called The Simpsons Siri, Lydia Pulteney. And the book basically explores all the instances where the Simpsons, quote unquote, predicted the future or, you know, suggested things that will eventually happen. I know the friend of the show, Timothy, kind of gets tired of this discussion, but the book is really interesting because I just read the first chapter and there's so many, like aside from Siegfried and Roy and Blinky, the three-eyed fish, there's just a bunch of instances. So that was a fun thing. Also from the second best damn pet shop in town, which is a great account to follow also. They're out of the UK and I got a great calendar. It's a collab with another Instagram account, Saturdays with Thunder, which makes real life photographs of different Simpsons references. So for January, it's a picture of a lobster on a leash to denote Pinchy. So that was a lot of fun. And then I got a king size Homer and a Mr. Sparkle shirt. So great stuff. And we'll post those on the website too, or the Instagram.
Our website.
We don't have a website. Nobody has a website anymore.
It is. It's called internet.com.
Not to be confused with crypto.com, the new stadium in California.
Yeah, that's a lot of Simpsons stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing from seasons 11 beyond, though, huh?
Probably not. Mostly Golden Age.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a future shirt with Apu's 8 kids.
Interesting that you mentioned that.
But I'm glad you had a great Christmas. Hope everyone had a great holiday.
Yes.
Back to normal life. No more holidays until everyone's favorite.
Arbor Day.
Yeah. Love Day. When's that?
I think that might be in May.
Yeah. Nothing's good until harvest season.
Yeah.
But you know what is good, Steve?
What's that?
Harvesting some hops and barley.
Oh, that means it's time for our favorite segment, the Simpsons Beer Corner.
All right, so the first thing I thought of in this episode, because it's Apu getting 8 kids, right?
Right.
So I figured I'm just going to drink 8 beers from India.
Does that make sense to me?
But it was kind of hard tracking down some Indian beer.
Okay.
So instead, I thought of Homer.
Mm-hmm. Simpson.
Yeah. And spoiler alerts for this episode, we'll find out that he only knows of 2 sexual positions,
mm-hmm.
laying on his back or being on top, right?
Mm-hmm.
We won't spoil what he says because that's the joke. I don't want to get there. But you would kind of call those positions, like, what's another word for boring or routine? Like, so something plain.
Vanilla?
Yeah, it's very vanilla. But what happens when Homer's done with those sexual positions? What does he usually do? What comes out of, what's another word for it? Jism, Steve.
Come.
Something that you would put in your coffee.
Oh, cream.
Yeah. So Homer's vanilla creaming. So that's okay. What I found. Vanilla wafer cream ale.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's from everyone's favorite alcoholic late night show host's last name, Fallon. It's actually called O'Fallon. I wouldn't be surprised if he somehow owned part of this.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's called from O'Fallon Brewery out of Maryland Heights, Missouri.
Interesting.
Yeah. Here's the copy. This medium bodied ale starts with a variety of lighter colored malts, adjuncts, including pale malt and corn, which add cookie-like flavor and sweetness to the beer. Just before finishing, we add cold-pressed Madagascar vanilla that ties it in all the attributes of this classic cookie. It's light in alcohol, just a 5.2%. But here we go. It's a vanilla wafer cream ale. It sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting. I'm fascinated to see how it tastes.
The logo, I don't think, is really kid-friendly, although you see vanilla wafer, so maybe it is kid-friendly. But it also just looks like, not an energy drink, but like, no, it looks like candy. You got a light smell. Oh, wow. No, that tastes like a vanilla wafer.
Ooh.
Oh, my. It's so smooth. If a kid drank it, they wouldn't know they're drinking beer.
Oh, boy.
No, there is a nice beer flavor. It's a milkshake.
Ooh.
This is probably one of the best dessert beers I've had in a long time. Even though you get that hint of vanilla wafer, it's a hint. It's like an aftertaste of that wafer in your mouth, but you get a nice smooth beer ale.
Nice.
I want to drink more than one.
Mm-hmm.
I know I shouldn't because it is very rich, very sweet. But this is, I think, one of the best dessert beers I've had. It's not heavy like some porters and stouts where it's like the dark chocolatey flavor.
Mm-hmm. This sounds really good.
Very vanilla. It's delightful. I highly recommend this one. O'Fallon nice. Brewery.
O'Fallon Brewery.
This is probably one of my favorite beers I've had on this podcast.
So wow. Done this.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. I really want to try that now.
It's wonderful.
Nice.
How about you, Steve?
Well, Craig, I thought that your beer sounds amazing, but your description of it was pretty vile.
Oh, no.
So I went a little different. So this episode is all about Apu and Manjula and their love for one another. And this is something that I assume that Manjula said, getting dicked by Apu. This is two pumps this time. A Pacer Stout brewed with vanilla, lactose, and Indaba coffee. Yep. The name of it is Two Pumps This Time. There isn't a whole lot of copy on it, but it's brewed with vanilla, lactose, and coffee beans from the Indaba coffee roaster out of Spokane, Washington. And it's by Lumberbred Brewing, also out of Spokane. And it comes in at 10%. And the can is actually pretty nondescript. It's just a simple kind of a courier font, two pumps this time, and then a drawing of the silhouette of a lumberjack. So you got a beanie and a big beard, or just, you know, a Northwest hipster. And it's pours pretty dark with like a nice light brown head. It looks it doesn't look super thick. It's kind of not so syrupy. Ooh, that's really good. I know that you're kind of skeptical of like certain coffee beers.
I'm not. I am.
I don't know. Maybe it was somebody else I was talking to.
I love a coffee beer.
Yeah, this one is really, really good. The coffee really comes through. It's not super sweet. It's just kind of got a nice bold coffee flavor with, much like your beer, just a hint of vanilla. It's really, really tasty. And it's like the perfect melding of coffee and beer. Like you get both of the elements really well. And I highly recommend it. Two pumps this time from Lumber Beard Brewing.
That does sound great. Now, I love a coffee beer. I'll have to try that. All right. Two pumps and then we chumps.
That's right.
Hey, Steve, let's just get on with this week's episode. Let's go back in time.
All righty. Let's go all the way back to November 21st, 1999. Whew, long time ago. What was the number one movie in the box office?
Well, I'll have you know that I bet you this is where I was that weekend.
Yeah,
I was in the theaters watching Pierce Brosnan's third outing as a James Bond and The World Is Not Enough.
Ooh, what did you think of that one in relation to other Bond films?
You know, I think at the time I knew it was bad because Denise Richards was in it. She was the Bond girl, Dr. Christmas Jones.
Exactly. Yeah.
And she's kind of what ruins that movie because, I mean, look, I love Starship Troopers and she's great in that movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, like, I just didn't believe her to be a nuclear scientist.
Yeah.
And she was clearly there just to be, you know, a Bond girl, like, even though she's a scientist wearing like a crop top and tiny Lara Croft, like she's wearing a Lara Croft outfit.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I loved it too, because I remember as a teenager, like, oh, cool, Robert Carlyle is going to be the Bond villain, because I just loved him in Trainspotting.
Francis Begbie.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying is, like, I actually like this movie minus a couple things, and that's pretty much just Denise Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not Denise Crosby, Tasha Yar herself. She wasn't in the movie. I'm like, why isn't Tasha Yar here?
She died in the second season.
First season, Steve.
Oh, that's right.
But it was also, besides spoiler alert, Robert Carlyle, the bad guy, he wasn't. It was the first time a woman was the actual villain.
Who?
Yeah.
The woman was the doctor.
Yeah.
And a villain.
The Doctor Who. It's not a bad one. It's definitely not like Die Another Day is awful. That's the one after that. It actually kind of goes in order of best Pierce Brosnan movies from release to the last. It obviously does.
I think that his biggest contribution to the world of Bond is being related to the GoldenEye video game. But how does Pierce Brosnan hold up as a Bond compared to others?
Well, I think if you grew up in the 90s, he's still like your Bond.
Right. Yeah. But
growing up, I feel like Sean Connery was always my Bond, just because that was always on TV. Like, my parents always were watching Sean Connery and Roger Moore Bonds.
Yeah, of course.
So when I was like snooty, like movie guy, I'm like, oh, Sean Connery's the best Bond, of course. But now growing up and just developing my own opinions and not listening to other people's opinions, Roger Moore's still my favorite. I love his goofy James Bond.
It is a lot of fun.
But yeah, that's some Bond talk.
All righty.
Looking forward to this new year. I think they're going to announce who's going to be Bond. I sure hope it's Bye Fish Finkel.
I hope it's Rowan Atkinson.
I hope it's the kid from Jojo Rabbit and everyone's favorite Home Alone movie.
That's right.
Home Sweet Home Alone.
That would be my choice too.
It's a great choice.
He proved himself.
He did. All right. Well, Steve, while we were watching James Bond, what were we downloading on LimeWire?
Well, Craig, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 is an obscure one that didn't get a whole lot of radio play. It's Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas. Heard of it?
How many times have we played that damn song on this podcast?
I was wondering that myself. Like, I think like every season 11 episode has that song in it.
It's going to be more than the Adele one we play every week when the new episode's out.
Yeah. So today we're talking about 8 Misbehavin', the 7th episode of the 11th season. What happens, Greg?
Apu and Manjula give birth to octuplets, and they allow themselves to become the zoo's latest attraction.
All right. Do you have any big memories from this one?
Let's find them together.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan. We'll watch it, and we'll be right back.
Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
Back. Today we're talking about 8 Misbehavin, the 7th episode of the 11th season. It originally aired on November 21st, 1999. It is episode 233 in the show's run. Your nerd code is BABFO3. It was written by Matt Selman, directed by Stephen Dean Moore, and your showrunner is Mike Scully. The Scully years.
All right, Matt Selman, we've said enough.
Yep.
We're done with you, Matt.
You're fine.
We're not being mad. It's just, you know, we always talk about his confused photo that's on his wiki. Just
yeah.
The fan who asked the stupidest question.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck is this shit about? All right. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Yes.
This is a big episode.
It is. And
canonizing, changing episodes.
Very true. And I don't want to give anything about my thoughts away, but I have a lot stronger opinions about this episode than I think I did when it originally aired.
I think that's going to be the case for both of us.
Okay.
But you know what's really weird? Because we've been watching, obviously, the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a proper intro.
It's been a long time.
But man, they had like the full intro.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is kind of long. Can you guys just get to the show?
I mean, this episode clocks in with this at 23:19.
Yeah.
Which is like 2 minutes longer than a modern episode.
Right. I don't know if I'm allowed to say what Bart wrote on the chalkboard, though. Are you?
I'll fall on this one. So the chalkboard gag, which is, you know, culturally inappropriate now, but it's going to be a theme, I think. Indian burns are not our cultural heritage. And this isn't even the first time that this was used. It was also used in King Size Homer, season 7, episode 7. So yeah, it's a recycled one.
Yeah, we can't use that term. You can't say sitting Indian style either. That's racist.
I've not heard that one in a long time.
But that was like in grade school. They'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, sit Indian style. Okay. Also, we did a lot of racist things in grade school, like making costumes of Native Americans and wearing them during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And doing the gesture of making a noise and then putting your hand over your mouth over again.
Yeah, while you're putting two fingers behind your head to signify feathers. Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
Well, you know, that's why we change, Steve. We change to realize that making fun of culture is just low-hanging fruit.
Yes, looking at our past can help us to be a better tomorrow.
Yes, looking at our ass. Mm-hmm. I mean past.
My past ass was so nice.
All right. Well, we also get couch gag, and they sit, and it's one of those like classic horror movie tropes where the wall switches around, and it appears to be Ned Flanders shackled upside down. Well, like a Vincent Price starts laughing wearing a lab coat and ascot. Is this a House of Haunted Hill reference? Maybe.
I think so. Yeah. Or maybe Vincent Price is just creepy for 60-year-old Christian men.
I love Vincent Price on the show.
Oh, yeah. He's great. I love that Super Bowl episode with his
Jody
nephew.
Who does Vincent Price's voice? Probably
Dan. Yeah. Because yeah. he's a lot like the Polish Your Balls guy.
Polish Your Balls.
That's fun. That was, like a minute and a half intro. But that we were used to that back in 1999.
Yeah. Where did we have to be?
We were, it was November 21st, 1999. It was probably literally at home watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Probably the week of Thanksgiving. So we only had to go to school for a couple days.
Yeah. Had it off.
Probably played hockey on the PS2.
That's right.
Which one was that? Was it Face Off what we played?
Yeah.
Probably playing Face Off 98 because we couldn't afford the new one.
Right. We're hoping that we get 99 for Christmas, even though that was probably 2000 that was being released. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get through the credits finally, and we get to how every Simpsons episode begins at a parody of an IKEA. It's called Shop, or is that how you say it? Shoop?
My brain says shoop, but it's probably just shop.
Shoop, shoop, day, doop. And so, yeah, the Simpsons family are there, which makes sense because this is their show.
Sure.
So they're finding out what the old Swedish chain store has to offer.
These Swedish furniture designers sure have some far-out ideas. I mean, a green table. I wouldn't have thought of that in my wildest dreams.
And these beanbag chairs look so comfortable. What? Hey, there's someone else in here.
Arr, she swallowed me whole.
You put it together yourself. All you need is me, Alan Wrench.
He's named after what he is.
Cool costume.
It's not a costume. They found me inside a meteor.
Excuse me, where are your hamper lids?
Hamper lids, third floor.
Help, I need tungsten to live. Tungsten!
Ooh, look at all these clever pencil holders.
Ooh, I want to get the crunk.
You don't want something that overshadows the pencils. How about this pooply?
Mom, no. Everyone in school picks on the pooply kids. Even I do. Just hate them so much.
Long intro clip there, but a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, we're off to the races.
Yeah, Steve, you're a pooply.
Oh, I wanted to be a crunk.
I love when the Allen Ranch comes and Homer laughs that that's his name.
Yeah, he's named like what he is.
The last week's episode, he made an Allen Ranch joke too, because Flanders comes over and says, can I have my Allen Ranch back? And Homer's like, you name your tools or nerd or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was a fun Allen Ranch joke. Allen Ranch is a fun joke.
It is. I enjoyed it both times.
Like a Phillips head screwdriver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Phillips head was weird shaped. Had like four indents in it, right?
Yeah. I remembered a scene from a sitcom with Jerry Stiller where he invented his own screwdriver, and it was the letter A. And I couldn't remember if it was Seinfeld or King of Queens because he played somebody's dad on both of them. Pretty much, yeah. But I think it's King of Queens.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I never saw the Kings of Queens.
You're not missing much.
But speaking of the Allen wrench, I love it, that joke. And my theory is it is just like a dude in a costume, but he does this to scare kids all the time.
Either way, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I like it, the fact that it is just a teenager just pranking a little boy.
With a great backstory. He could have easily been a robot, but he's an alien.
His boss was like, all right, Frank, his name's actually Frank, not Alan. You got to be the Alan Wrench today. He's like, oh man, and he just messes with kids to get through the day.
Create some mischief.
Yeah.
Aside from this obviously being an IKEA parody, some fun trivia. There was an American store called Store, ST, same O with that cross through it, R, that opened in 1987. And it was basically a knockoff IKEA. And they do like a Miller Lite, taste great, less filling type ad with great furniture, low price. And then IKEA sued them, claiming copyright infringement. And then Store had to change, but then eventually Store was bought out by IKEA. So that's fun.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
Before our time.
Yeah.
We didn't get so this joke probably didn't resonate with us in the Portland area when this aired, because we didn't have an IKEA until about 2005 or six.
I think I may have known them as like a cultural joke, but I had no idea what they are.
Yeah. And that was about it. Yeah, I think my TV stand is an IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's TV stand is an IKEA.
Yeah, I think especially when you're in your early, like mid-20s to early 30s.
Right.
It's a good way to get inexpensive furniture that doesn't like look awful.
Yeah, everyone in their 20s had an IKEA coffee table.
Yeah, those $4 ones that are fine.
They're good for a week.
Yeah. And then you think, maybe I'll put it outside, and then it rains once, and just melt.
You spill water once on the coffee table, and just then all of a sudden just wilts up.
Yeah, it's the IKEA Mogwai.
Right.
You can't put food on it. You can't get no bright lights,
and it'll just produce scary gremlin monster.
Exactly.
I forget the comedian, or maybe it was a tweet, so I don't know who I'm creating this. It's not my joke, but it was something about IKEA is a great place if you're a couple to go to get into a fight or something like that.
Yeah. I think I want to say it might be, oh God, what's that guy's name? Anthony.
Carlos Mencia.
Yes. He wrote all the jokes.
Yeah.
No, the blonde
Anthony
guy.
Jeselnik?
Yes. That's what I'm thinking of. I think that might be who it is, but I could be wrong.
He hasn't been canceled yet, right?
Surprisingly, I don't think so.
But his shtick is, yeah.
Yeah. He, you would think that he should be.
But he's probably not a scumbag.
Probably not. It's probably all an act.
What? A comedian that has an act that's not themselves?
Weird.
I thought comedy was just about being honest.
I know. It's telling the truth. It's not so much about being funny. It's just about saying what everyone is thinking.
Next, you're going to tell me Larry the Cable Guy is not actually named Larry nor a cable guy.
Yeah, that's crazy. And those puppets that one guy has, Bill
Hicks? No.
No.
Bill Paxton?
Yes. Pullman.
I think I've named everyone who's dead. All those bills are dead, except for Pullman.
Yeah. Anyway, puppets aren't real either.
Are you also going to tell me that the Smothers Brothers aren't brothers, nor do they smother each other?
It's true. They can't even use a yo-yo.
They're still with us.
It would be ironic if one of them killed the other one with a pillow.
That would be great.
So we're at the food court, aptly titled food, and they have a variety of offerings, such as
Hot dogs.
Pizza.
Chinese eat balls.
That's what it says on the menu. Swedish eat balls.
Eat ball sandwich.
Tuna sandwich.
Genlugen.
Hagenblappen.
French fries.
Yam.
Ploppenlugen.
Doodle munch.
Snicker doodles.
And poodle munch.
The food court's not really, the one in our area is not really a food court. It's just a counter. I don't think there's chairs or anything.
No, I think I feel like there used to be, but they moved everything.
I've only been a couple of times. You go there to get into a fight with your significant other.
See, this is why I knew that Laura and I were good together, because we went there a couple times and it was actually really fun.
Oh.
So, yeah.
It's always so packed and they don't let you use the bathrooms in the showroom.
I mean, you can just once. I just like to think of it as like the crappiest amusement park ever.
Yeah.
It's like a haunted house, but.
Well, it's true, because like they have a food court and it feels like once you get to the register, there's like a gift shop.
Right. Exactly. You have to brave the children's furniture section.
It is fun to go down through like the discount aisles. That stuff. Oh, yeah. Isn't there a discount aisle? What am I thinking?
No, yeah, there is. There is like damaged goods and
right, damaged goods.
Yeah.
All right.
So the Simpsons sit down to eat, and Marge thinks the dinnerware is ingenious, as it is made out of Lego, which is a proper usage, not Legos. Good job, Marge. Homer constructs a four-pronged fork and uses it to snatch eat balls from the plate of each of his family members. And as he shoves those balls into his mouth, some local Springfieldians stop by to say hello.
Hey, I thought Lego said it's okay to start saying Legos now.
It probably is. I was just being pedantic.
But she was, at that time, I was being very smart by saying Lego. Also, I don't think that's very creative at all. Like, as soon as you bite into the food, the Lego's going to break.
That's true. Unless the food is also Lego.
Mm.
Hello, Simpsons.
Hey, Apu, Manjula. You guys are still married?
Oh, yes, sir. Quite happily.
Stay up, Marge.
Say, what you got there?
I don't know exactly. It's from the room of lamps that do not look like lamps.
Oh, little Maggie, aren't you cute with your little bow? Do boom, Bianya, do boom, Bianya.
Maggie loves baby talk.
That was Hindi.
Oh, sorry. So, have you two thought about kids?
Well, sure we have, but the decision to have a child is not to be made lightly. On the other hand, monkey see, monkey do.
Kids are the best, Apu. You can teach them to hate the things you hate. And they practically raise themselves, what with the internet and all.
Well, perhaps it is time. I've noticed this country is dangerously underpopulated.
All right, so I think one of the most classic Simpsons line is Homer. Kids are great.
Yeah.
Teach them to hate the things that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Practically raise himself with the internet and all. Still holds true.
It's very true.
Also, Marge's insensitive joke, saying Maggie loves baby talk, and it's actually Hindi, which, not really. I mean, I'm assuming it's not.
Also, Marge bet on their divorce.
Yeah. Homer be like, I think they're going to make it. Marge like, they're not going to make it.
And they made it, just like Spider-Man.
Yep.
It's fun. If you look in the background, just before that clip, you see Gavin and his mom from the Bone Storm episode.
I hope whatever they're ordering for food there, that she gets some for Caitlin, because he's not going to share.
That's right.
I know they just use it. They use, already characters created, for background stuff like that. But I was really sad they didn't get a scene.
Yeah.
There could have been.
They could have made them, especially at that time, into nice ancillary characters in the background, kind of like, not for a whole plot, but like Squeaky Voice Teen or Raphael, just people who kind of reappear and being rich and shitty to each other.
And I remember seeing the Marge Be Not Proud and that character showing up and as a kid thinking like, these are great side characters. Please have them back for more.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Asshole kid jokes, which surprised they haven't brought them back. They might have, right? Like,
I'm sure they pop up every now and then.
Well, it's a fan favorite for me. If I ever got to write an episode, I'd find a way to put Gavin and his mom in there
for sure. Also, Manjula, of course, is voiced by SNL alum Jan Hooks.
R.I.P.
Indeed.
How many years has it been? It's been almost probably like 10 years.
Yeah, I think so.
That was a one that was kind of just out of nowhere. You're like, oh, Jan Hooks died. Like, what?
I know. And then you realize how good she was, especially playing against Phil Hartman. Like, I don't think that she got the respect that she deserves.
And she was great as a character on Third Rock from the Sun.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Does she have like, I feel like she might have had like cancer.
Yeah, maybe.
Drinking alcohol, liver damage, but she was diagnosed with leukemia in 2009.
Ooh.
So she was, she must have hit it hard then.
Yeah.
I always liked her on SNL. I liked the Lounge Singers.
Oh yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Who was that with? Was it with Nora Dunn?
Yeah.
Her Nora Dunn is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Nora Dunn.
Jan Hooks.
Victoria Jackson. Yeah, she's... Were all the women on that show?
I'm sure Ellen Cleghorn was fine.
Okay. Oh, what's her name? Pat.
Yeah, she's the one who had
cancer.
She's
great.
Yeah.
She was great on Shrill as 80s mom. Yeah.
Julia Sweeney.
Pat, can't do that sketch again.
I don't think so, no. So in the apartment of Apu and Manjula, the couple discuss whether or not parenthood is right for them. Apu wonders who will float his corpse down the Ganges, and then the couple turn out the lights and make sweet, sweet love. Before they do have sex, Apu shouts out, "Oh, Calcutta," which is the name of a theatrical review known for its graphic displays of nudity.
We should go see it.
Yeah, it would be fun. Do you think they'd wear masks on stage?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't want any bodily fluids from their mouth to come on me.
No, that'd be gross.
Yeah, I really hit that cum hard. Thank God I'm the editor and I don't have to use my words against me.
Yeah. Because if I said, I hit that cum hard, you could easily edit that into something.
I'm sorry, I missed you. What did you say?
Man, I hit that cum hard. Kids and cum, yow.
All right, calm down, Steve. All right, so the following morning, Apu is sitting in the ice cream cooler at the Quickie Mart, chilling his loins to increase the chances of impregnating his wife. So Homer hears this, and he's expressed some concern that he may have received an exorbitant amount of data.
Whoa, too much information. Thanks for the mental picture. Why don't you tell us what you really think?
Just stop spouting those hackneyed quips.
Could you be any more... Hello? Look, just give me some ice cream. How about one not touching your ass?
Oh, Manjula has begun to ovulate.
Ew, thanks for sharing. More than I wanted to know.
So I think this is definitely of the time period Homer's, as Apu puts it, hackney quips.
Yeah.
Like, it's very Chandler Bing from
Absolutely,
Friends.
Absolutely, yeah.
But that was also, like, in the late 90s, for a time, that was not just Chandler, but then, like, in pop culture, everyone started doing the hello.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, Jim Carrey kind of did that.
Right. And so when Homer doing this, even at the time, I think it was already like 1 or 2 years like too late to be doing that.
Yeah.
But it makes that joke really funny. I don't know if this that same joke works modern audiences.
No, but to me, like when I saw it this time around, it really cracked me up.
Yeah. And I love Pissy Apu.
Yes.
We get him a couple times in this episode, but
I know. It's great.
And then I also thought when Homer was getting the ice cream,
mm-hmm.
the delivery Dan did there, the, you know, looking at, you know, he's up who's sitting on them. And when he just does the lip smack is like, no, but no, that's not touching your loin.
Yeah.
Very aware Homer.
Yeah. That's a great clip.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great clips.
There's also supercuts.
Yeah. And I wouldn't know, but Bishops, is that still a thing?
I think that's just a Portland-based chain.
They're in California too.
Oh.
Yeah. So for the two people in California you listen, there you go. So after another session of lovemaking, Apu and Manjula use the PNC pregnancy test to see if a bundle of joy is on their way. The test shows one baby, another baby, and a lemon. They had all that sex for nothing.
The PNC is some of the best.
Yeah.
It's a great way. I don't know why they don't actually make a pregnancy test called the PNC. That's literally what you do.
Yep. You pee, and then you see.
And I don't know if this is, I mean, it's probably meant to be the joke of because Apu works in the convenience store and you go buy lottery tickets or you scratch off to get the, so I don't know if that's like the joke of the three babies. I mean, I don't think it's funny, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Especially what comes up next.
Yeah.
When they try spoilers, when they find out they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so in the backyard of a 742 Evergreen Terrace, Homer is heating up two cans of unopened beans on a barbecue grill. Apu suggests that maybe opening the cans is a good idea because it'll prevent an explosion, but Homer insists that the cans should remain closed because it seals in that flavor. You know, as a kid, I thought, like, why can't you just microwave a can of beans inside?
Yeah, be fine.
Thank God my mom didn't allow me to try that.
Do you remember when, I think it was with you, that we used to put bags of empty Dorito bags in the microwave to watch them shrink up to a tiny size?
It was cool.
Yeah.
You see a couple ruin the microwave,
but yeah. We took so compact.
Yeah. And like the font and like the graphics, it was a perfect chip bag for like a Barbie doll.
Yeah. So little girls, if you're listening and you need a prop Doritos bag.
Yeah.
Empty it first. Yeah, empty it first. Eat all those flaming hot Doritos and put the bag in the microwave for probably 10 seconds.
Yeah. You might see some sparks. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then you pull the Doritos metal bag bag out, and it's a perfectly 2-inch size prop.
Yeah. It's real cool.
All right. Let us know how that works out for you guys. So back at the barbecue grill, Steve, Apu just grabs a trash can lid to protect himself just in case the beans do explode. So then Homer uses problematic language now, right? To ask Apu how the pregnancy is going.
So how's the tribe coming along? Any papooses?
No, still no luck. Tell me, Homer, did you have to take any special steps when you decided to have children?
Decided? That's classic, decided. Babies just happen.
Well, not to us, they don't. Oh, Homer, we have tried everything. Oysters, gravity boots, Sanjay's bed, every possible position.
Really? On top and underneath?
Yes.
Well, don't worry, I can help you. I'm all about ideas. Kids, come and get it.
Yeah, the opening with Homer, that's very, he confuses a Native American tribe right. and Papoose with Indian.
I mean, part of it is Homer just being dumb, but also, yeah.
But, you know, Apu now, we would have to call out that racism.
Yeah.
But he can't say much because he's voiced by a white guy.
That's right. I do like poor Marge. Homer seems to only know two sexual positions.
On top, underneath, missionary and...
cowgirl?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, because then reverse cowgirls, okay, we'll call it cowgirl.
I guess, because, yeah.
But you can't say that, that's racist. Well, that's... you know, the term cowboy was actually...
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right.
Actually, no...
No, you're right, I forgot about that.
White cowboys were called cattlemen, but after Black people, when slavery was ended, when Black people were getting jobs as ranchers or as cattlemen, they weren't called cattlemen, they were called cowboys.
Yes.
Because they were, quote-unquote, lesser than the white man.
Right, so when kids play cowboys and Indians, they're being racist twice.
Super white, yeah. So remember yeah. that. So when someone says cowboy versus aliens, they're like, watch this Jon Favreau movie if you want. It's not Iron Man. It's kind close. Of like, it's close to Iron Man 2. Yeah, who'd have thought a movie with James Bond and Indiana Jones wasn't going to be good?
Yeah.
It's like you purposely made it bad to screw with us.
That's right. It's like a challenge.
It's like the producers, but it succeeded.
Exactly.
All right. Enough about Jon Favreau. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah. Good. Great chef. Homer takes the couple to make out point and gives them scripts to create a scene guaranteed to end in pregnancy. Apu is fine with playing the role of a high school jock, but wonders why Homer had to cut off the roof of his Firebird to make it a convertible. Homer responds that that isn't a Apu question, and Apu is Greg. Apu begins to read lines to Manjula's character, Betsy, encouraging them to go all the way. So as Homer mouths the lines as they're being read, the Betsy character is concerned how her father will react, and that Greg has a scholarship to Ivy League State. Greg tells his cheerleader girlfriend that he's shipping off to Vietnam tomorrow, which is a small error in the script that Homer quickly owns up to. Betsy asks Greg to remember her while he is on his dinosaur digging up trip, and the couple begin to express their feelings in a physical manner.
I like the stereotypical high school encounter.
Yeah, it's cute.
The car, but the fact that Vietnam, and I do like the end line with her saying a dinosaur digging up trip. Like yeah. Homer couldn't figure out what it was called.
Right.
Like dinosaur expedition, you couldn't think of that, or paleontology.
Right, archaea, yeah. And also the fact that Apu is going to be a paleontologist, an Ivy League scholar, and a Vietnam war hero. So that's why you can't have sex.
Right. Didn't Pooh already have a convertible, Steve?
Yeah.
Did Homer have to do that?
That's like a little bit of a blunder.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a little bar on up the cross, but otherwise it's fully convertible. So, yeah.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
So Homer says, and that's my cue to exit. And then we hear like the romantic music, like job well done, right?
Yeah.
So he flings his jacket over the shoulder and walks off into the night. And then Pooh and Manjula continue to make out, but then Homer creepily pops his head up from the car there watching them. He's caught, and Homer says that he was just trying to invite them to the rap party. And then once again, he says, and that's my cue to exit, and that music starts playing again.
So back at their apartment, the Nahasapiza Petalons take another pregnancy test. This time, it's baby, pirate. They both show disappointment, but Apu examines the PNC box a little bit further and find that pirates are wild. They're pregnant. The happy couple embrace, and Homer once again creepily pops his head into their window.
So that means if you want a baby, you're pregnant. But if you didn't want a baby and the pirate shows up, you're not pregnant.
Exactly.
And that's how life works, right?
It should, yeah.
So then we jump ahead 9 months, and there's some great bits coming up here. This episode is driving down the street, and they reflect on what they have done for the past 9 months. And they pass the Quickie Mart, and we'll see Apu and Manjula. But let's find out what the Simpsons were up to for the 9 months.
Man, the last 9 months sure were crazy.
I'll say, I learned the true meaning of Columbus Day.
I enjoyed a brief but memorable stint as Sideshow Marge.
I became the most popular girl in school, but blew it by being conceited. And then I learned the true meaning of winter.
Apu, You still find me attractive?
Of course I do, sweetheart. You are beautiful and silky and manageable.
You're reading that off a conditioner bottle.
That's true. But you still have
My water broke.
Oh, we must drive to the hospital. Clean up in aisle 3.
Oh, finally. Gil's moving up to the big leagues, boy. My back.
Great to see you, good old Gil there.
Yeah.
The beginning of the clip, I just love that kind of joke where we miss their adventures and like just kind of like, you know, how we always pitch episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marge just saying like, you know, it would have been an episode where we said like, oh, maybe Marge becomes Sideshow Mel.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I want to see that episode.
Yeah.
Lisa becoming popular and then not popular. But I think the best is from Bart. It starts with the true meaning of Columbus Day, which is funny in its own right.
Yeah, exactly.
But the end of I finally found the true meaning of winter.
It's cold.
Yeah. What is the true meaning of winter? No one will ever know.
No. I thought it was interesting in the Cookie Mart. At the register, they have some impulse items such as hair conditioner. And something called candy milk.
Yeah, right. What is candy milk? It's supposed to be like, you know what it could have been? No. I'm wondering if it was like milk duds or like dud milk or something like that.
And, or even just like milk chocolate that got.
But something like maybe the Korean animators like didn't understand it. So they looked it up, what it meant. And it was just candy milk. I don't know. That doesn't make that doesn't make sense either.
No, I get what you're saying, though. I mean,
like candy milk. Yeah, maybe they're like thinking like do a milk dud joke there.
Mm-hmm.
I want a candy milk bar.
I know.
Also, there's like a give bucket. I'm not sure like for money, but it looks like a tooth. But
that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's an elephant.
Yeah.
Like, give to a wildlife. I don't think it's like give to teeth. Give your teeth.
It's funny. I had the same journey. I thought, is that a tooth? And then I guess it could more.
It's an elephant.
It's an elephant. Yeah. Donate to the Republican Party.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Staunch Republican Apoo.
Yep.
In the waiting room of the Springfield General Hospital, Homer, the Simpson children, and Apu sleepily sit when Marge busts through the doors of the delivery room. She calls out to Apu to witness the miracles occurring. He goes into the delivery room and finds Majula holding their firstborn child. Apu declares the baby will be the jewel of their lives. Dr. Hibbert is touched by the scene, but opens his doctor's coat to reveal 7 more children who are kind of faceless.
Yeah, they don't look like they didn't draw the lines, but they're just sleeping.
Yeah.
It's hard to see.
They're newborn. Their faces haven't grown in yet.
Yeah, right. That's how it works.
Oh, now say hello to your other 7 children.
What?
We had quite a discussion about the funniest way to reveal them to you.
You have octuplets. It rolls off your tongue and into your heart. Octuplets.
Apu, you should have seen your face when they showed you those babies. It looked just like that.
I just love the idea of Dr. Hibbert literally behind, just like, all right, everybody, let's think of something really clever here.
Should we just hide him like an Easter egg hunt?
Yeah.
We'll get a tall hat or a big trench coat, and then we can stack them one or the other.
It's one giant baby.
Oh, poor Manjula. And still probably poor Manjula.
Steve, do you love Little Women?
I've got no strong opinions on it.
I'm just trying to see if you remember that joke from a Curb Enthusiasm from a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Tracy Ullman was talking about Little Women, and Leon's like, I love Little Women. It's when 3 little women are stacked on top of each other to make one large woman.
That's right. That's so great.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I really like Marge's it rolls off the tongue and into your heart.
And then she's into it too. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, wouldn't you like know you were having 8 kids before you had?
Yeah. I mean, you would presumably be... there were several ultrasounds.
Right.
And she would have been huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Octomom? That was a big thing in 2009?
Yeah.
She just loved that episode.
And yeah.
She's like, I'm going to do. Yeah, that was I mean, that was like on everyone's the late night show, like go-to joke for like, for the year.
Yeah, I feel like that was like one of the last jokes that is like of one singular news story that they pulled like forever. Like in the 90s, they did a lot with like the OJ trial or Marina Bobbitt or the Menendez brothers.
But if you look at the Octomom, it really did bring us all together as a nation to collectively make the same joke about her.
Yeah.
Our friends from the red states and our friends from the blue states, they all thought it was funny.
Yep. So all we need to do to unify ourselves as a nation is to find one collective person to laugh at.
Hey.
And just ruin their lives until they do porno.
Or two, Steve.
True.
We're talking about us. Like, Steve, I will sacrifice ourselves to be
become martyrs.
Yes. I'll be a martyr. Then I can finally be Saint Craig.
There you go.
I'll finally earn my sainthood.
Patron saint of getting laughed at.
Well, though, you remember I said a few podcasts ago, I'm going to be the patron saint of crappy podcasts.
Yeah, there you go.
So on accident, so what's going to happen is one day there's going to be an internet, a crazy thing through every Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast that person's listening to, it's going to glitch and only our podcast will be sent out for the day. And millions will listen to us and laugh at us, and we'll be thrown out of this country.
Yes.
Which is fine. I mean, I'll go to a different country.
That's I'm okay with that.
But the country, Steve, will be Denmark.
Oh, no. Not Denmark.
Yeah. Denmark.
Ugh, it's the worst. And then Jimmy Fallon will be like, I'll bet those boys are annoyed now.
Shut up, you alcoholic.
Okay.
Fall down and get injured all the time because you drink too much.
Severe drinking problem, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Enough of liver shaming Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. I like the term, though. Liver shaming. So our second act begins with Manjula introducing Apu to all of his new kids, such as...
Poonam.
Sashi.
Priya.
Uma.
Anoop.
Sandeep.
Nibendu.
And Mama's clear favorite, Geet, who is sporting a receding hairline and horseshoe hair formation, which I just found to be adorable.
It's the funniest thing, because this already has old man hair.
Yeah.
But I also think... Well, because you're thinking somehow Sanjay's jizz got in there.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, these are actually Sanjay's kid, because I know this is not how science works, but remember when they said they even used Sanjay's bed?
Oh,
what if it's Sanjay already ejaculated and is fresh, and then she just jumps on into the wet spot?
The horrible host.
Again, I'm not a scientist. I know that's not how that works. But
what we're saying is, if Sanjay has an Airbnb, bring your own sheets.
Right. All right. So Apu wonders how they ended up with the 8 children there. And Manjula confesses that she took some fertility drugs while they were having issues conceiving. And then Apu also admits that he was monkeying around with nature and slipping some fertility drugs into her breakfast squishy.
Which seems far worse.
Yeah, he's drugging her.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're trying, you know.
Yeah, it's all in fun.
Right. Yeah, getting pregnant, it's all in fun. It's all good fun.
That's
until someone gets pregnant. So then using a calculator, then Dr. Hibbert does some math and figures out that that should have just added up to quintuplets. And then Andy Richter's like, that's my show.
Thank you. I was going to make that joke and I didn't.
And he jumps out the window and goes to write it.
Yeah. Now I'll control the universe.
Then Hibbert asks if anyone else had slipped Manjula some fertility drugs. And Homer, Marge, and Bart all guiltily raise their hands. Bad, but Bart?
Yeah.
I really want Manjula pregnant.
Maybe he just wants some friends that are 9 years younger than him.
And then Homer comments on the taste of his fertility drugs he used. And then later there's a media that's holding a press conference about that miracle 8 children birth.
Mine tasted like strawberry. Ovulicious.
Would you say you and your babies have a love 8 relationship?
Absolutely, yes.
No, say it. We need a soundbite.
We have a love-hate relationship.
Yes, Kent Brockman, Channel 6. How would you respond to people who say this kind of multiple birth is more suited to, say, a possum than a human being?
Who would say such a thing?
Well, pundits? Wags? I'm not the one on trial here.
No one is on trial. This is a joyous occasion for all, and the outpouring of support has been so lucrative.
Yes, we have already received lifetime supplies of baby powder and Pepsi B.
Free baby cola!
Apu hits the jackpot, and I'm stuck with these useless one-tuplets.
Gee, sorry for being born.
I've been waiting so long to hear that.
First of all, it's funny that Homer's taking fertility drugs.
Right. Well, he asked if he's fertile. He's not.
Yeah, that's true. And they probably do taste good. Strawberry's a good flavor.
Yeah. Let's give it up for Kent Brockman. I just love the, I'm not the one who's on trial here. And just be like, no one's on trial. This is a joyous occasion.
Yeah. And also the first media guy.
It's the best. Could you say you have a love-hate relationship? I think I mentioned this last week.
Yeah.
That's my favorite joke. And then the Cloud 9 joke coming up.
Right.
I just love no, say it. We need a sound clip.
I also love at the end of it where Bart says, sorry for being born. And then Homer's like, God, I've been waiting so long to hear that. That joke in itself is great. Very funny. But then Homer hugs him. Bart says, it's a hug. And then he hugs him back. I don't know. It's sweet.
It was worth it because, you know, Bart was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart's apologizing for that mistake of being born.
Right.
That's all he ever wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Die a happy man.
Yeah. Maybe now he'll stop choking him.
And he has.
Yeah, it only took 17 more years, but yeah. We got there.
All right. Well, the media attention results in donations of various baby products to Apu and Majula. We got toys and pacifiers and cases of Wuv's diapers. Kent Brockman then asks a couple how they feel about the free merchandise. And Majula replies that the companies have been pretty generous, aside from Q-tip people who only give them 3 crates, and thus they can rot in hell. But the fine folks at Sony, however, donated a giant TV that will really help them love their babies. Do you think this is like one of those like in jokes of like when they say so, like they're hoping that Sony sees this episode and then sends all the Simpsons writers like nice Sony TVs?
Yeah.
And like, someone who
wanted a vial.
Yeah. And who cares about Q-tips? Let's make fun of them.
Right. Can't even put them in your ear now.
Yeah. Sony does make a great TV.
It's true. They also make a great PlayStation 5.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I would love all of our fans to have PlayStation 5s.
Yeah, and you know,
because they're the greatest game console ever.
That's right. And
so if you're a fan, go buy a PlayStation 5 because we're promoting you.
Yes, this we think everybody should go out and buy a PlayStation 5. Like, you just send your money to Sony and they'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Or let's try this with another angle. Send your money to us and we'll send it to Sony.
Right. And honestly, I don't really care about the PlayStation. I just want the money.
Yeah. I mean, the PlayStation is great, but I also don't.
Oh,
care
yeah.
It.
Sorry.
I want the money.
Also, that joke of the TV of them loving their babies by having the giant TV.
Yeah.
Apu turns on his new free television and there's some breaking news out of Shelbyville.
I'm here at Shelbyville Hospital, where a local woman has just given birth to 9. That's right, 9 babies.
Some say 8 babies is a blessing, but they don't know the joy of 9.
Would you say you're on cloud 9?
We're on cloud 9.
Aww.
They even have a better soundbite than us.
9 babies? That's barbaric.
Non-uplets? Now that's something you don't see every day.
Let's get this stuff to the real heroes, the Shelbyville 9.
Cloud 9, that's fun joke from that one.
Yeah, and I like that Apu is even aware that Cloud 9 is better than that.
I also like the construction type workers. Like, there's like a forklift in the middle of like their house.
Their apartment.
Their apartment. And like, I just love that. Like, let's give that to the real heroes.
It's also funny because at that time, anything was a hero.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ate a hot dog, you're a hero.
You ate a hero, you're a hot dog.
It's weird how that works. So the delivery people take away all the free stuff. What a player. The delivery people take away all the free stuff and attempt to even take their ottoman, leaving Apu and Majula with nothing. Apu tells his wife not to worry. They don't need corporate handouts. Their children will live on love. Later that night, the babies are in various items made to be beds, and Apu tries to rock them to sleep. Once they are asleep, Apu also passes out, only to be awakened by his wife at 4 in the morning, letting him know that he's late for work. Apu remembers this beautiful dream he had where he was dying. But Majula says that that's not going to work. He's stuck living, at least until the kids are out of college.
Is that your favorite line of...
It's a pretty good line.
Apu.
Beautiful dream of dying.
Beautiful dream of dying, yeah. So at the Quickie Mart, a stressed and sleep-deprived Apu passively allows the bullies there, Dolph, Jumbo, and Kearney, wheel off silver cases of Duff, saying, thank you, steal again. I almost did the accent, Steve. Caught myself. Yeah, I'll try it again without... thank you, steal again, is what Apu said.
Right.
Ned walks into the convenience store there and tries to offer some positive spin on things, but good old pissy Apu, he isn't having it.
Well, morning, Apu. How are the little blessings?
Ooh, they're a ravenous swarm of locusts, just eating and screaming and grabbing and poking and pulling and drooling and two have cradle rash. How do you get cradle rash when you sleep in a suitcase?
They can be a handful of joy.
Shut up!
They'll fill your lives with...
Just shut up!
Can't put a price on a miracle!
I can't believe you don't shut up!
I love that. I can't believe you don't shut up. I can't believe you don't shut up. I'm trying not to do the accent.
You're right. Pissy Apu is wonderful.
He's done the... What was the other one?
The Can't Believe You Don't Shut Up. Was it Homer and Apu when they go to the... the first Quickie Mart ever.
I think probably. Our fans probably know.
And then like Homer's like, are you really the first Quickie Mart? And that's the one question they can ask.
Right.
And then they're walking down the mountain and he says it to Apu. Can you believe that's the first Quickie Mart? I think that might be the line, but I might be wrong.
I guess we should have done more research, but we're not good at that.
No.
Someone will tell us.
Yep. Thanks, Internet, for never not yelling when people think get things wrong.
Yeah, the Internet's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Good people.
All right. So in the bedroom of Homer and Marge, Homer enjoys looking through his Viewmaster. Why is there a Viewmaster all of a sudden? Like in 1999, wasn't that already like an obsolete toy?
Totally.
Love it.
I feel like when we were kids, even though we had them,
yeah,
they had been around for like 30 years.
But it was like, oh, well, I know the entire movie of Return of the Jedi now.
Mm-hmm.
So with Homer's Viewmaster there, he's learning the story of Hansel and Gretel. So Marge reflects on seeing Apu earlier that day and how frazzled he seemed. And Homer comments on Hansel's eating prowess while Marge pulls the Viewmaster disc away, messing up Homer's corneas, which was really funny.
Yeah.
Different scene. Marge goes on to say that Apu's kids have colic, although, you know, maybe a couple of them may be faking it just to fit in. Steve, do you have a colic?
No, I don't have any hair, so I can't have a colic. That's appropriate.
So they ponder on having eight kids, and Homer confirms with Marge that he's sterile from the years of working on the nuclear power plant, but maybe not now. He's taking the fertility drugs, right?
Right.
The next day, they head to the new parents with an offering that will surely help and solve everything.
Knock, knock!
Hmm? Apu? Manjula? Marge, I got a bad feeling about this.
Welcome to my nightmare.
I knew you had your hands full with the babies, so I baked you some banana bread.
Oh, hallelujah, our problems are solved. We have banana bread.
Well, you don't have to be sarcastic.
Oh, look who's here, the family with one baby. How do you manage?
Marge, they've turned into jerks.
This whole scene is delightful.
Steve, I'll give you some banana bread. Will
that
help?
Oh, yeah. Big help. Yeah. I can make all the sandwiches that I want because it's banana bread. Ham and Swiss. On banana bread.
Can we just call it banana cake?
That's what it should be called.
Yeah.
It's a cake.
And I was always upset because it was called bread because there's like not frosting on it. But as a kid, I'm like, if there's frosting on it, then it'd be banana cake. Just make a banana cake. I want cream cheese frosting. Darn it.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Pooh slowly stands up wearing his vest full of eight milk bottles complete with nipples. He apologizes for being rude and then offers Homer and Marge something to drink. And they quickly and politely decline, which I thought was funny. Their reaction was great. Pooh then has to break up the babies as they wrestle with each other. Marge suggests that they get a nanny, and Apu wonders how they pay for it. And just then, a doorbell rings.
Yes, and what would I pay her with? Banana bread? Sorry. It's just we haven't slept in days, and we're running out of money. And banana bread? What the hell were you thinking? Banana bread. I apologize. Apologize again. As a token of forgiveness, please take this baby.
No, Marge, no!
Mr. Nahasa, Pasa... Oh, forget it. Listen, you look like you could use some help. Come with me.
Okay.
But you don't know who he is.
Who cares? There's only one of him.
What if your babies could live in a place with round-the-clock childcare, all expenses paid, full medical, dental, tutors, the works?
I would say that there must be some sort of horrible catch. The zoo?
What? Everybody loves my zoo. You don't love my zoo?
Earlier in that clip, when Apu was apologizing with the banana bread thing and offering Marge one of the babies, like Marge's eyes like light up, like literally just wanted to keep the baby. That's funny. Mm-hmm.
I like how she has fleeting maternal desires to be a mother of a toddler again.
So who's that mysterious man? Who's that voice? Sounds familiar. Is that Paul Tompkins?
It does sound a little like Paul Tompkins, but it's director, writer, actor, and former lover of Gillian Jacobs, Gary Marshall.
Penny's brother.
That's right.
And they're both dead now.
Yeah.
A lot of dead people in this episode.
And it is 22 years old.
That's true.
But yeah, it is sad because Gary was great. And I love his line readings. Like, what, you don't love my zoo? He then dares Apu to look at a kangaroo and not laugh. And so Apu looks to his right and sees just a horribly depressed mother kangaroo and her Joey moping behind bars. So then they go past the closed prairie dog experience to see the habitat or nursery. And it's complete with cribs, toys, and the best of care. And in return, Apu just has to let local folks share a little glimpse of their blessing. Apu wonders if it's right to put his children on display when a voice answers.
Sure it is.
Ooh. Butch Patrick?
That's right. I was TV's Eddie Munster, and being in the public eye didn't mess me up one bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously. Hey, one question, Eddie.
Butch.
Yeah, right, right. If your mother was a vampire and your father was a Frankenstein, how come you are a werewolf?
Huh. I never thought of that. Doesn't make sense, does it? But what does make sense is putting your children in the hands of Mr. Kidkill here.
Please, please, Larry. Larry Kidkill.
I don't care what Butch Patrick says. It just doesn't seem right.
We wouldn't be giving the babies away. We'd be moving in with them. They'll have a traditional Jewish upbringing.
Larry Kidkill, that's the best name.
It's so good.
Mr. Kidkill, please, please, it's Larry Kidkill. Butch Patrick. So I think that's a funny joke. I don't know the joke, but like we've been saying it for years, you know, like why would, you know, the Munsters have a vampire baby?
Right.
Or werewolf baby. Sorry. So let's think about Frankenstein.
Monster.
Frankenstein's monster and a vampire. I mean, it's science.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Science and just a little bit of magic.
Just like the COVID vaccination.
Exactly.
A little of both.
And just a touch of love.
From a Sanjay.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
No, Apu's brother. Remember we're talking about his love?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, that's right. Because it's come stained sheets.
It comes stained sheets. You might be a redneck if one.
You have come stained sheets.
I'm working on some material for you. Jeff Foxworthy there. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to freelance.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is he in a cage? Free him. Come on, Lance. Get out of there.
Just because you only have one testicle and used to date Cheryl Crow. That's no reason to be locked up.
Yeah.
I did like they'll have a traditional Jewish upbringing. It's a cute joke.
Very vaudevillian.
It is, yeah.
Heard that in the Catskills back in the 20s. All right. So Manjula reluctantly agrees to sign that contract with Dr. Kidkill. But just then, a mysterious hand stamps the document. It's actually Butch Patrick because he's a notary.
Huh.
So he's got a lot going for himself, Steve.
Yep. But there is a little blunder there.
Uh-oh.
Because when Manjula tells Apu she doesn't care what Butch Patrick says, she's wearing a kind of like a green cyan pajama. But when she signs the contract, she's wearing orange pajamas. You're expecting me to believe that she changed her pajamas just to sign a contract? Like those are her contract signing pajamas? Jeez.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
All right, well, let's get to the final act, Steve. How about that?
All righty.
It's got the zoo attraction called the Octo Sapiens. What a weird way of saying a collection of Apu and Manjula. It's a collection of their, so zoo visitors look through the plate glass to witness Apu and Manjula tending to their children. And they got like a nice accommodated nursery there. Our friend Larry Kidkill walks in to check on the family. The humidity, it's good. Just to look at the meter there. And to let them know that it's almost showtime. Just then, a crew rushes in with makeup, wardrobe, and props to get the babies ready for the big show.
All right, people. If you're not in a diaper, get off my stage. Off, 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 off.
I can't believe we're going to see the octuplets.
You already saw them.
Yeah, but now their umbilical cords have fallen off.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the 8 wonders of the third world. Welcome to Octopia. He can't talk, but man, can he rock. Say hello to the baddest baby in the whole damn town, Animal.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
How can he rebel? He doesn't even know where he is.
Uh-oh, sounds like one of the babies has a fever. Dance fever, that is. Let's hear it for Dazzle.
She's no Liza, but it works.
I love Marge's, like, honest reaction of, like, she's got a fever. Oh, no.
A couple other things. Lisa's line, how can he rebel? He doesn't know where he is. It's very funny to me. And also, Bart's super into the babies.
Yeah. like catcalling.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, wants to see them without their umbilical cords. But yeah, the babies were in cute outfits, animal in a leather jacket and a little bit of drool to show like he's a party animal.
See, babies can be in cute outfits. You said like a few podcasts ago they're not allowed to, but now you change your mind.
Well, I mean, it's a performance.
Okay.
It's different. That's stage wear.
All right. You're right.
The day wear.
So Larry Kitkill then introduces the stand-up who can't even set up punchline. And Simpsons did it. There's now another Batman villain called Punchline.
Oh, really?
Like the new Joker's new girlfriend, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Anyways, I don't know much about the story. I just remember like they're hyping like, move over, Harley Quinn. There's a new girl in town.
Just Paula Poundstone.
Yeah. So the baby's sport coat is loaded in front of a brick wall and has a microphone in front of him. So that's the stand-up baby.
Mm-hmm.
A punchline, yeah. He shoves his fist into his mouth, though, causing the audience to laugh wildly. Yeah, it's better than, I don't know, some acts, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, no. We've talked about him twice already. If you say his name three more times, he does a Tooth Fairy Part 3.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't say his name again.
All right. We won't say Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah. So causing the audience to laugh, like I said, and Lenny comments that punchline is thinking what they're all saying.
Which is really fun. That's a funny line.
Yeah.
So Mr. Kitkill then warns the crowd that all the laughs in the world won't protect them from the stern discipline of the Baron, played by the balding Geet, who is sporting a monocle and a Van Dyke beard. He floats by on a blimp with an iron cross on it, and the crowd boos. Larry then lazily welcomes the rest of the babies on stage as an American flag drops and two nurses jump on stage, remove their jackets to reveal some patriotic yet skimpy outfits. Lasers shoot from Dazzle's crib as a man in an Uncle Sam costume rides an ostrich across the stage, saying that the show will return in an hour. Majula and Apu look at each other horrified. Later, they confront Mr. Larry Kitkill.
Good babies. Good babies. Work with Dazzle. She's a lox out there.
How could you do this to our children?
I know. The lighting cues were a mess. Don't worry. The guy's been fired.
Our babies are not circus freaks. We're taking them home now.
Hold on, Alpo. We got a contract.
Not anymore. Laminated. You monster.
Terrence, Christopher, will you show these two to the exit?
Avec plaisir.
I'm afraid there's nothing I can do.
The zookeeper paid you off, didn't he?
Paid me off? What are you, crazy?
So we'll never see our children again?
Well, they might give Dazzle back. The buzz is she's got one more show to turn it around.
Well, if the police won't help us, we'll simply have to take the law into our own hands.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing that these days.
That last line, funny stuff. I'd take the law into your own hands. I also like how easily it is to bribe the chief of police in Springfield. He just got a bag of like probably unsalted peanuts.
Right. It's like 5 pounds of nuts.
Yeah, that's all it takes
to basically go into child trafficking.
Yep.
Which means that there's could be a very bleak underbelly of Springfield.
I feel like Fat Tony wouldn't allow trafficking in Springfield.
Yeah, he's got balls.
Yeah.
That Costas guy, though, he would do
Bob.
It.
Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the same height as children.
It's true. And they're both prone to getting pink eye.
Bob Costas here. These guys suck. That was my Bob Costas impersonation.
I had a late night talk show for some reason.
I love baseball.
I'm generic white. Also, there's a point in that clip where Larry Kitkill calls Apu Alpo, which I wonder if that was like
scripted or not.
Scripted or if it was just a Gary Marshall ad-libbing. Either way, it's interesting.
Or maybe Gary Marshall didn't know the name of the character.
Yeah.
Alpo. It was pretty funny. Yeah. Maybe he was like, oh, what's his name? And he looked over and saw his dog eating dog food.
Yeah, and he's like,
my dog's name is Alpo. He could this is a Gary Marshall. He could afford Paul Newman's pet food.
Oh, yeah. He's not
getting Alpo.
Kibbles and bits and bits and bits. Got the fancy stuff. In the darkness of night, Homer and Apu sneak into the zoo. Apu notices.
Are you starting a poem?
Yes. Oh, whatever will they do? Will they go over or will they go through? So Apu notices that the animals act differently at night. And then we see a turtle quickly climbing from tree to tree like a primate. And then three koalas gnawing on the bloodied corpse of a wildebeest and laughing with evil, which I thought was just...
Oh, yeah.
Homer in his all-black sneaking outfit, and he arrives at a door that reads, "Danger, newborns." using a crowbar, he opens the door, and the Pooh finds his little treasures. He begins to load up his kids when he sees the sleeping nanny begin to stir.
Real quick, back to the animals behaving badly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Matt approved of that joke?
That's a good question. I mean,
it's probably one of the funniest jokes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny enough to see the turtle kind of jump through, but like the koalas are so gory.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of them,
yeah.
Well, it's like with a little kid mentality, like you don't know what the animals do at night because you're asleep. So what do they do? And like the fact that they just behave like different creatures is great.
Right. And the koalas, you know, they're so cute and cuddly. But remember that picture that was on Reddit for like 10 years of that one koala that got wet and looked scary?
I don't remember.
Oh, well, it was kind of a meme for a little while.
Let's get to that clip. How about that?
Alrighty.
She's waking up.
Don't worry. I brought some chloroform. Pleasant dreams.
You idiot! Those are chloroforms!
Dumb joke, but I loved it. Chloroforms.
I know. That's probably the dumbest joke of the episode, but I'm not mad at it.
No, I don't think I ever really remember playing with chloroforms.
I feel like I did, but...
Is it because I had, like, a Game Boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're too busy playing Dr. Mario to learn how to read.
But I know how to take drugs now, so there you go.
Yeah, that's true. And you know three colors.
Yeah.
So Apu and Homer rush to the entry gate as spotlights search for them. Apu hands Homer the babies through the gate, one by one. Once they get into the car, they load the babies into the back seat, and Homer sees an ape trying to hand off her baby as well. Feeling that things are getting a little weird, Homer speeds off.
That's good. So back at the Simpsons house, Apu and Manjula hold the kids and vow never to let them go. Geet, though, refuses to give up his little fake beard. So Apu just lets it go. And just then we get Larry Keiko. He comes into the living room.
Hold it right there, scumbags.
Please, Mr. Kid Kill, look into your heart. I know these babies have a lifetime contract. But what if I put together an even better act for you? Something sensational!
It's not just you prancing around in a monkey suit, is it?
Not anymore!
You got yourself a deal.
Good joke.
Yeah.
That was what Homer was going to do.
Mm-hmm. And eventually, in a couple of years, or maybe this year, he'll prance around in a panda suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we then cut to a holiday stage full of cobras. Homer and Butch Patrick on Homer's shoulder, are both dressed like Eddie Munster, and they ride a tiny tricycle trying to avoid the poisonous serpents as Kenny Loggins' Highway to the Danger Zone plays.
So Lisa asks about the snakes, and Bart looks in the playbill to learn that some of the snakes are real, or others are just filled with venom. Like how there's robotic snakes that are still venomous. Yeah. Apu and Jill see what a good friend Homer is, and that he could survive that. Maybe they can handle their bunch.
All right. So Homer and Butch struggle on stage when Homer calls to release the mongoose. That mongoose, though, is frightened by the surrounding cobras, so leaps up and bites Homer's head. The snakes attack him, and the audience applauds. And that's our episode.
We get to the credits, but it's one of those fun credits where it's still the credits are running, but Homer's still talking.
Yeah.
Should we listen to that and then come back and then just wrap this whole thing up?
That sounds like a good plan. We'll be right back.
Do I look like a snake? Ow! Ow! Why isn't he listening to me? Ow! Oh! Show's over! Show's over! Next show at 8 o'clock at 10!
All right, Steve, that was a fun break. Let's wrap up 8 Misbehavin', putting this in the record books of all the seasons 11 episodes we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do our favorite jokes from the show, some favorite scenes, you know, and look at something we would want branded on a shirt or a tattoo or on our baby clothes. Any of that will be fun. Give our final thoughts. then find out what we're watching next week.
Sounds great.
All right. So for merchandise, Steve, what do you want to get plastered and buy?
Oh, boy. I want to get plastered and buy. Well, it'd be cool if I could buy a real PNC pregnancy test.
Yep.
Because I don't want to get pregnant and I want to know if I am.
I think that would have been like my t-shirt, the PNC.
Yeah. I would love a t-shirt of the vicious koalas. Or that would be a fun tattoo, like on your arm, just have three koalas just munching on a dead wildebeest.
Yeah.
But man, there's so many good visual things in here. I would be happy with a shop t-shirt, like the IKEA knockoff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a milk candy shirt?
Oh, yeah. A milk candy would be good.
I would like it's not shown in this, but I feel like in universe, there probably was like a retro looking like circus poster for the eight kids, like maybe like a show poster for
Octopia. Yeah. For that's really good.
But like I said before, I just want PNC.
Yeah.
So like enamel pin, t-shirt, hoodie, beanie, baseball cap, underwear.
Yeah. I remember when you were in art school, probably naked at some point, and you make like little fake products.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be cool to make a box of PNC.
And relabel actual pregnancy tests.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I'd love an action figure of Allen Wrench.
I think you say an action figure of PNC. A transformer.
It transforms from an Allen wrench to a urine. Oh, yeah.
But the Allen wrench is good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's still a lot of fun things to look at.
We could also market not pregnancy test, but PNC COVID test.
Exactly.
All right.
You got Omicron.
Yeah. All right. What about your favorite joke?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of jokes in this. Of course, I do like the Homer and Bart thing about thanks for making me feel bad for being born.
Mm-hmm.
The Allen wrench thing again is great. I love Marge's genuine concern at the baby who has a fever, dance fever.
In the beginning, Homer cooking beans on the grill.
Yeah.
Pooh and Manjula doing the high school encounter with Homer, you know, putting the scene together like a teenage movie. Don't forget the interlude too of like the 9 months of like, you know, Marge saying she was Sideshow Marge and Bart learning the meaning of winter.
Yeah. Also a Pooh and Ned at the Quickie Mart and
shut up.
And then the whole banana bread thing that might do it for me. I think the banana bread
it is.
Oh, but also don't forget about the Cloud Nine joke.
Oh, yeah. The Cloud Nine and Eight relationship is great. I forgot to mention, I do love the when Marge says, why don't you guys just get a nanny? Like, I love like that's just an option for people.
Like, right.
Which clearly they can't afford it, you know?
Yeah.
I think I've made that joke before with a certain friend of ours that has kids. I'm like, why don't you just get a nanny?
Yeah. Maybe just stop having kids.
Man. Kent Brockman, of course.
Oh, always great. And
I'm the one who's not on trial here. We're not on trial.
It's a wonderful thing.
I mean, Gary Marshall's great. Fun. Butch Patrick was a fun little cameo.
Yeah.
Chief Wiggum accepting peanut bribes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could pick a favorite, but
tough.
Aside from like the culturally insensitive jokes that are dated, what were you going to say in the beginning?
Okay, I was just going to say that when this first came out and I watched it, it didn't do much for me. Like, it was funny and I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like love it. But when I watched this, every scene made me laugh and it was just a fun episode.
Yeah, and I totally forgot about Gary Marshall in this episode.
I know.
It made me laugh.
He's so good in it.
This is one of those episodes in this time period where it does just jump around scene after scene after scene.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those episodes just miss.
Yeah.
This is one that doesn't. It hits.
It's almost like little sketches in a way, but I think they connect well. And I don't know, this might be one of the funniest episodes that we've reviewed in recent history, for me at least.
Right. You know, I'm just skimming through. Right. There's just, I think there's, you know, there's things also that, like I said, doing the joke of go ahead, get a nanny, or like, shut up. Why don't you just shut up? Like, we say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those references come from this episode and the love AIDS and I'm trying to think what other things I've said before. Like when I quote Simpsons in like,
right. In life. Yeah.
In life. Homer.
Oh, of course, you know, you can teach kids to hate the things that you hate.
That's the one. That's my favorite. Okay. That's my favorite line. All right. I think I said in the episode.
Yeah.
I was nervous about watching this. I'm like, I was afraid it might be like too dated.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, and I do miss, Yes, I know Jan Hooks and, you know, isn't of Indian descent doing right. the voice of it. And, same with Hank doing Apu.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss Apu. He's one of my favorite characters. And I never just thought of it as like a stereotype character. I just thought, you know, he's Apu. He's a character.
And also he kind of has that Chalmers quality of kind of being an outsider looking into Springfield and seeing how weird the town is.
Right.
And so it's him acting as a straight man to the absurdity around him.
Right. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
I think that's why we like the pissy Apu so much, is because he's like annoyed by the foibles of his life, much like we are in ours.
That's why he's a great character.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Yep. Bring him back in a way that makes people happy. And I'd love to see him again.
All right. If we're going to give this a ranking, do I do the obvious and do out of eight because of the eight kids?
That seems like a very straightforward option.
All right. As of the census of 2011, apparently there's a 1.221 billion residents in India. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, because they're about the same with like China being like a billion. So I'll give this out of a billion. Let's give it $548,000.
Already makes sense to me.
And we'll throw in a 8 trillion Dogecoins.
Oh, wow.
How about you, Steve?
You could go obvious and, you know, say that there are, 9 babies with the non-tuplet. And so it's an 8 out of 9 or something like that. But, I'm going to go a little bit different and say that there are 458 IKEA locations in the world.
How many?
458.
Okay. I thought you said like 48 for a second. I'm like, what? What?
No, 458.
Sounds about right.
And so out of 458, I'm going to give this 60 match spiels, 40 group spell, a Hootis Flare, 20 Udis Flevivith, and we'll say 1 Pooply, just for that kid that you hate.
You just sound drunk. I mean, Steve, I love when you talk baby talk.
Speaking Swedish, Craig. And I am drunk.
Okay. And you're Swedish?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Oh, cool.
Maybe a little bit.
Love your fish, man.
Oh, yeah. If it ain't pickles, it ain't good.
No, the Swedish fish.
Oh, yeah.
If they get stuck on your teeth for 4 hours and you can't get it out.
Yeah, they're like gummy bears, but dustier.
And hard.
Yeah.
All right, Steve. Well, yeah, this is a classic. I think that if you were to say to someone, like, give me like golden eight or classic Simpsons episodes from like seasons 11 and beyond, I think this is an episode people would just come to their head like, oh yeah, when the octuplets.
Absolutely. I think it's a must see, not only for the changing of the canon, but I think it's an iconic episode that people don't realize is so iconic.
All right. Well, Steve, you know what else is iconic?
What's that?
The new episode of The Simpsons. It's iconic because it's going to be the very first episode to ever air in the year 2022.
Oh boy, it's exciting.
Yeah. The day after New Year's Day. So it's New Year's, new days.
New days.
Boxing Day Part 2.
Yes, the unboxing.
Yeah. But it is a new episode, Steve. It's called The Longest Marge.
Marge battles Mr. Burns for the soul of a brash young football pro.
So is this going to be a what's that Sandy Bullock movie?
Blindside?
Blindside, that's what this is.
I'm guessing so, yeah.
So again, the referencing a movie. I know that there is a book, but the referencing a movie that's popular 5 years ago.
Right, and then The Longest Marge is a take on The Largest Yard.
Longest Yard, yeah.
Yeah, but football.
Do you think Billy Joe's The Longest Time will be parodied? There'll be like The Longest Marge because of her hair.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. I like that. She certainly is an uptown girl.
She's always a woman to me.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
Down Easter, Alexa.
Piano Man.
Good night, Saigon.
Alrighty, Craig.
Steve, do you remember this episode?
No, because it hasn't aired yet.
Okay. I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
No, I don't even know.
I went to the movie theaters and they didn't play a trailer to this episode. I'm like, what gives, right?
I thought that's what trailers were. They just show the next week's Simpsons episode. But we got Beck Bennett in the episode.
Oh, he's fun.
And John Mulaney back again. And he's, speaking of parenthood, he's now a father.
He's got pregnant.
Yeah.
To Olivia Wilde.
Mun.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't tell Olivia Wilde.
No, he's got a bad habit of doing that, being with somebody and then impregnating somebody else.
Jason Sudeikis?
Yeah, Ted Lasso himself. That's why he's so sad, but also a decent person.
All right, let's not talk anymore.
All righty, probably a good call.
But continue to talk to us by going to social media like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 138simpsons.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave us a review in 5 stars or the equivalent thereof. But it doesn't need to be a real review. You can just tell us your favorite sexual positions. Over, under.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. For this week, I've been an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been an annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, if you're not in a diaper, get off my stage.
Could you be any more? Hello?
All that sex for nothing.